specifically, I keyed into the Nahabond that the knight forms with their sprend is really cool and kind of creates the ability to explore a lot of different things. Like one, it gives a lot of, it puts a lot of meat on the bones for the magic system. I feel like there's a lot of magic systems out there that involve some kind of sorting into different categories or adherence to different deities or, you know, you name it. But to make it personal with a bond that you share with another being and progressing in your abilities involves growing in a relationship with this other being is really, really cool and not something I've ever experienced in a, in another story like that. So that was pretty, pretty fascinating.
Welcome back to Following Noadon, a Stormlight podcast. 1,630 days ago, we released our first episode of the podcast. It took us 1,630 days to read the Cosmere. Paul, how are you?
I'm feeling 1,630 days older, Trevor, I think. Amazing. I'm amazed we made it this far. I didn't know how far this podcast would go. It's gone farther than I ever could have imagined. And it's been a blast. I'm excited to just sit back, relax, just talk about Cosmere, talk about life, whatever. You know, just sit back, relax, and do what we do best and chat with each other.
Elliot, how are you?
I'm doing phenomenal. I remember clearly starting the Way of Kings. Poor, young, naive me starting the Way of Kings and realizing just how much was out in front of us with the whole Cosmere and learning quickly how fast Brandon Sanderson writes and starting to do a little bit of the math of when in the world are we ever going to be Cosmere current. And we had people hopping in our Discord and all these Discord channels were getting created that I didn't have access to. And the FOMO was real. It was what is going on in those crazy people who've read all of the Cosmere's minds. And here we are. Here we are 4.5 years later, and we've covered it all, or almost all the prose published works of Brandon Sanderson set in the Cosmere. It feels like everything I hoped it would.
Almost exactly 2 years ago, we finished Stormlight with what we had. It was December 4th, 5th, almost exactly 2 years before Wind and Truth came out, that we did our Rhythm of War wrap-up episode. In that episode, I really re-listened to it today. I stated that the first goal of this podcast was to get Paul and Elliot to read Stormlight. And if I could give them homework and make them talk about it once a week, then I could be annoying enough to get them to read it. The second goal of the podcast, now that Stormlight was done, was to, and I quote, get you two more Cosmere aware before Stormlight 5. Have we done that, Paul?
I'd say yes, a resounding yes. I think I know more about the Cosmere than I do the actual history of Earth, maybe. Like, you know, I haven't spent, you know, years studying other things, and I have with the Cosmere, so I think mission accomplished. Goals 1 and 2 crushed.
What about you, Elliot? Do you feel, I mean, 4.5 years, that's a bachelor's degree. Do you feel you have a bachelor's in the Cosmere?
I feel like I have a bachelor's degree in the sense of I know enough to be dangerous, but I still don't know that I fully have the knowledge to be incredibly effective. Since finishing The Sunlit Man, and even slightly before that, I was a little reckless. I started browsing the Coppermind and the endless trove of very well curated information about the Cosmere.
It's actually such an incredible tool.
Oh, it is. A huge shout out to anyone out there who's contributed to the Copper Mine. Yeah. That is an incredible resource for this fandom. And one of the things I've learned as I start to poke around in there is so much more that either I missed or is buried in like Words of Brandon stuff that's out there. I have not gone yet to read through all the Words of Brandon's that are out there because that list is long. Holy smokes, yeah. That list is long. So the amount of information that's out there that's not in published work is, I feel like that's a whole nother journey to go on, to go study the treasure troves of the Words of Brandon. So I know enough to be dangerous. How about that?
It's actually having this conversation with some of our Discord members. Brandon Sanderson is so involved with his own fans that I think it's actually almost circled back to a bad thing, where if you don't know like the specific Words of Brandon that he said in 2018, you don't have as much information as everyone else, and you're on a different like spoiler scope, because there are so many people who have just read Stormlight and are going to pick up Wind and Truth, or have read the whole Cosmere like you guys have, or have read the whole Cosmere and White Sand, which nobody talks about, or has read all the unpublished stuff that kind of sort of like, or Dragonsteel, like Dragonsteel Prime, or The Way of Kings Prime. You know, there's so many layers and levels to Cosmere Current that I feel like there's always an asterisk to your level of spoiler scope. I've read the whole Cosmere, but I still don't know as much as other people. Like, you know, I feel like that's kind of frustrating almost. Elliot, this is episode 225, probably. Maybe it's 226. I don't know. I hear you have some numbers for us for the podcast.
I do. I had a little bit of time to dig into some of the behind the scenes numbers, and I've got some interesting little data analysis to run by you guys. And I'm excited about this because I love numbers. If you haven't figured that out by now, you haven't actually listened to a lot of this podcast. If there's any excuse to dig into science and engineering, I'm gonna do it. So here's another excuse to do this. I want to warn our audio only listeners yet again. I'm going to pull up some charts and graphs here. So I'm going to do my best to kind of talk through the numbers, but if you like numbers, if you like graphs, if you like charts, hop on our Discord. I'll post these there, or go to our YouTube channel and pull up this episode and you'll be able to see these. I'm going to make Trevor have to edit them onto the screen as we go here. I won't spend too much here because I know that data and number crunching is going to bore some of you, but let's take a little walk through the past by the numbers. Trevor and Paul, pull up your Discord there. There's my first cut at the numbers, just to put in perspective where we've been on this Cosmere journey. By my count, which is actually slightly different than Trevor's, we'll see when exactly this episode comes up. I kind of did my numbers off of today when we're recording it. 5 months and 1 day since when this podcast has started. Here we are today. I added up all of the published content that we've put out on our YouTube channel, which I think not quite everything makes it over to things like, you know, Spotify and other places. 277 hours, 28 minutes and 38 seconds, and however long this episode has been going. That is our total airtime as a podcast. Books read.
Very nice.
A little hard to count this one, actually, but 19 actual books and then Arcanum Unbounded, however you want to slice and dice that one. If you total up all of that, we have read 3,865,652 words in the books that we've read. And we've talked about them all. Okay, not all of them, but we've talked about the content of all of those words. And I like thinking about it in averages. We've covered an average of 4.5 books per year on this podcast, which we've talked before about the rather slow pace that we actually kind of move at, right? When we're only covering two or three chapters a week or things like that, much faster in other books. I'm actually going to pull up some numbers on the pace that our podcast has moved in a second, but averages out to 4.5 books per year, 2,394 words read per day, which that actually caught me off guard a little bit. That's quite a lot of reading, actually. 2,300 words a day to keep up with ourselves on this podcast. That's not small. And my last kind of summary number here, if you average out all of our airtime over that 4 years and 5 months, you get just almost exactly 10 minutes of podcast content per day, which I feel pretty good about that. I think we put a lot of work into this. Trevor, shout out to you for all the editing and producing and publishing of all this content. 10 minutes per day for 4 years and 5 months straight. Not bad, gentlemen. Not bad.
What actually pains me about listening to old episodes is not the quality of our content or the quality of our mics or anything like that. All of that had issues. It's the quality of the editing. I've gotten way better at editing episodes that it just pains me to listen to old content because I'm like, this sounds so poorly produced, but I'm better now.
I do want to, I want to toot Trevor's horn here for a second. I very greatly appreciate it. Trevor has done 99.9% of the editing. I think there was one episode back in the day that I edited, or maybe one special feature I edited poorly with Trevor's help, mind you. So really 100% Trevor has edited, and he's done a good job and learned a lot. And I'm very grateful for it. I know Elliot is too. We show up. I mean, we'll prepare things. You know, Elliot has his summaries and things like that that we can, but we largely just show up and, you know, each week and are excited to talk. But Trevor's the one who does the work editing and uploading it, and it's been greatly appreciated. But it is awesome, Elliot, to see the stats on this. I love looking back, and man, it has been way more than I think I realized. How many words per day? You know, 10 minutes of podcast content per day doesn't sound like a lot, but that is 4 years and 5 months
straight. Yep.
Straight without stop. If that's the average, you know, which is pretty wild. That's pretty impressive.
And let me take you a little deeper. So here comes another one. I have four of these total, by the way, just so you know. Here comes the second one. This is one of my favorite ways to look at it. So this is actually called a Gantt chart, but this is just a way to look at like over time. So look down at the bottom of it.
Let me put on my nerd glasses real quick to look at this.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Blow this up large on the screen. Go full screen if you're looking at this. Bottom axis down there, time, all the way back to June of 2020 when we started this. And here's a breakdown of all the books we've read and how long it took us to read them. Paul's got the actual nerd glasses on over there. I'm loving that. Love it. So you can see this chart is kind of cool because it shows you how long we spent like calendar days in each book. And you can see, you know, which books we just flew through. Some of them really stand out. You know, the extreme example being Elantris. We spent a grand total of 1 week in Elantris. And then other things like Oathbringer, which we spent the better part of 8 months in. And so the numbers on there show the days, number of days we spent working through those books. And you might be tempted to look at this and say, oh my goodness, we seriously picked up our pace right around end of Mistborn Era 1. And that's kind of true and actually kind of not. I went ahead and ran some data on that more specifically. So here comes a third one. This is our reading pace. So here, same thing on the bottom. So dates. So this tracks the dates from we started this podcast to today there at the end. And on my vertical axis here, I've got the number of words from the books that we read per day, that we covered per day. Basically, you can just take how long did we spend in that book, how many words were in that book, average that out. That's the average reading pace that we had to read at to keep up with this podcast. And you know, no titles of the books on here, but you can kind of compare back to the previous chart that I just showed. If you want to, you can kind of figure out what books are which, but you can see the spikes, which usually align with things like novellas. We cover those at a faster rate. But I was tempted to think that, oh my goodness, we covered Mistborn so much faster than we did Stormlight. That's not actually really true. If you look at the far right side of this, kind of those levels, they're a little bit higher than the ones on the left, but not a lot, actually.
What's this low book on the right here in like halfway through 2023?
That is Yumi.
So Yumi
okay.
is actually an interesting outlier in our podcast here. That's going to show up on my last chart here in just a second as well. We covered Yumi in far more depth than the rest of the books, which I did not think about at the time.
So yeah, Yumi, and then Oathbringer was our next slowest. Interesting.
Correct.
Does that count with Yumi? We got the early release chapters and talked about them and then kind of restarted. Does that take that into account at all, or?
That does not. I did not include that in the averages of that preview that we did. I counted that as like a special episode, which isn't really in these numbers.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah. So last one, talking about outliers, here's another way to slice and dice where we've been, how we've been through these books. Pull up this one, stare at it for a second. On this chart, I've got a scatter plot. On the bottom axis, we've got book word count. So this is, again, how many words were there in the book that we read. And then in the vertical axis, it's the podcast airtime. So if you take all of our episodes on that book and you add them all up, how many minutes did we spend talking about that book? And some interesting things come out when you start to stare at this chart. I did a little color coding based on like series. So the dark blue ones up there at the top right, those are your big Stormlight novels. Of course, their word counts are much, much higher than the rest. You've got your Mistborns, which are kind of the darker and the lighter red. You've got your Secret Projects, which are green. Elantris is its own little kind of outlier, because we covered that in the grand total of a week, so I don't really count that one too much. But what I like to do on this chart is my black line, the gray line that kind of goes there through the middle, that you can kind of think about that as an average. If you kind of took an average rate of how many words we cover per minute on the podcast, that book would sit right on that line, which you notice quite a few of them do, actually. But anything that is above that line, we spent more time on the podcast talking about it per word from the book. Anything below, we spent less time on the podcast talking about it per word in the book. Huh. And there's some interesting things that kind of pop out to you when you look at this.
That is really neat. I feel like I could tell you which Stormlight book is which looking at this. I think it's pretty linear. I think we've got The Way of Kings below the average. Mm-hmm. Maybe Words of Radiance right on average, and then yep. Oathbringer a bit above average, and Rhythm of War. And we spent a lot of time talking throughout that book.
Swap you the think second those are two. Swapped? Really? Or the swap I feel like the last two.
I feel like our episodes progressively got longer, but you actually might be right, because we spent a lot of time on Oathbringer, and it has less words than Rhythm of War.
Just slightly, yeah. But right. As I was talking before about Yumi is actually a surprising outlier here, because if you look at it, it doesn't have nearly as many words as an Oathbringer, but the like vertical distance from that average line is about the same on Oathbringer as it is Yumi, which is that higher green dot for the Secret Projects. We did Sunlit Man and Tress right about the same. Those dots are almost kind of overlapping each other. And then Yumi pops out there, which basically you can group Yumi and Oathbringer in the same category as we over dedicated time to them is one way to think about it. Or maybe we were having so much fun we spent lots more time talking about it. But yeah.
You want to know something that's crazy? Right after we finished Yumi, it really hit me of our time frame of what we needed to do to finish on time. So yep. Right after we finished Yumi, I then plotted out our entire year of 2024 and even some of 2023 on what we needed to cover every week to finish. And here we are. I feel like I did that just the other day. I plotted all that out and we did it. Here we are.
And I think the only other things I'll point out on the data, and then I'll let us move on to other more or less interesting things, depending on how you think about it. A couple of other outliers on the low end. Elantris, of course. I think Elantris, we knowingly kind of had to rush that one, where we did it all in one episode, as we just didn't have time in the schedule to dedicate, you know, 2 or 3 months to it. The other one, though, is Warbreaker. That teal light blue dot that's kind of close to Elantris, that's Warbreaker. We definitely under-devoted time, if you're just looking at averages, to Warbreaker, which that was so long ago that I don't honestly remember too much of that time. Warbreaker is probably the book I need to go reread the most.
I'm sorry, and Warbreaker.
Yes.
I had that somewhere else in this episode, but I'll go ahead and say it now. I am fully aware that I underserved Warbreaker on this podcast, and I apologize. But yeah.
But let's think about the context. Given the context of we wanted to read it for further context within Stormlight, as well as getting a glimpse of the Cosmere as a whole, I feel like it wasn't that dramatically underserved given the time frame. However, in now with the grand scope of the Cosmere, we can be like, yeah, you know, Warbreaker didn't maybe get its moment in the sun that it deserves. So yeah, maybe that's something we'll revisit at some point, or at least do a reread on.
So something I was actually thinking about today, with kind of this type of thing in mind, although Elliot's beautiful graphs were not in front of me. You did a great job on these. I wish we had covered Warbreaker the way we covered Elantris, because the way we covered Elantris, I actually really, really enjoyed that. We just got to sit down and talk about the whole book, pros and cons. Like, we kind of just laid it all out in an extended episode, read it alongside what were we reading? Hero of Ages at the time. And I wish we had done that with Warbreaker. I had never considered that as an option back then, but had we read Warbreaker perhaps alongside Words of Radiance, I think that could have been a really cool of you get the Nightblood reveal at the end of Words of Radiance, and then this book we've been reading at the same time, we get to then talk all about it at the same time as Words of Radiance. But, you know, hindsight 2020.
So anyway, there you go. A quick little jaunt through the data of what we've covered on this podcast. And yeah, we've read a lot of words and talked about it for a very long time.
Yeah. Saying it again, you did a really good job with these. If you are on audio, I will try to include these in the thumbnail of the audio. I do that sometimes with your visuals. I'll put it as the thumbnail of the episode. So I will try to include all four of these. I don't know if they will. I don't know how, if I have enough pixels to do that, but I will try.
Yeah. I'd recommend this is pretty neat. And again, well done, Elliot, putting these together. They look great. And I'm surprised with the results. I really did feel like we were ramping up our word count and a reading pace and everything. And you're right. On average, it's not that different from how we started, which is really,
a little
really
bit of a step up. Yeah,
there is. And you can see Elantris is the line that shoots all the way up in the middle. Yes. Which is funny.
Yes.
Really, we did read it over maybe a more drawn out period of time, but it was given 1 week of podcast, you know,
correct,
air time, which is kind of funny. But definitely, if you're someone who normally listens, look it up on YouTube. At least to check these out. I think it's really fascinating.
Something that I actually notice on this, the reading pace graph, the right hand side of the graph, with the exception of Yumi, is pretty darn average for the calculation I did. So when I sat down right after Yumi and figured out, okay, how many words per episode do we need to cover before December 5th of 2024? It's right on 3000, which is what it was like 2900 some words per episode. And that's right where we landed. So, all right. Going into more general questions. Thank you for the graphs, Elliot.
You're welcome.
How long did that take you, by the way?
We just won't talk about that.
Did you include that in your calculations?
In my reading pace or my time hours. Commitment?
Yeah.
I did not. I did not.
If you did that, you'd also have to add all the hours that Trevor spent editing our content,
yeah,
which probably adds a good bit more time.
I was going to say, 10 minutes of published podcast content per day, like that. There's a lot of work that goes into published content. Yeah, anyway,
that's true.
I will say this. I did all these in Google Sheets, and it took me way longer. If I could have done it much faster in Microsoft Excel. I'm much more proficient in Excel, but made it happen in Google Sheets, and here we go.
Is this a paid segment from Microsoft Excel?
Yeah, apparently, yes.
We love you, Microsoft Excel.
And if you use code...
Yeah, exactly.
You get your 30-day free trial. All right, anyway. Okay. Gentlemen, just some more relaxed, chill conversation about the Cosmere in general. What is your favorite Cosmere mechanic or system that we have come across? If anyone would like to jump up and answer this, or I can go first, either way.
Trevor, I want to hear from you first. I don't mean to put you in the, make you answer first, but I want to hear what you have to say. As our sage, all-knowing Cosmere representative.
A mechanic that I really enjoy, maybe not my favorite, but one that definitely stuck out to me as I answer this question for myself, this is my question, actually spans the whole Cosmere, not just a single book. I really enjoy the cognitive realm as a concept. The cognitive realm and how you can, how people think about something, it actually influences what it is a really cool concept and a really difficult one. I think when you originally get introduced to the cognitive realm, in Words of Radiance or maybe Oathbringer on this podcast? I mean, there's books that in publication order that address it before that, but for us, it was Oathbringer. I'm not a fan of it initially, but as a through thread throughout the Cosmere, the cognitive realm and how it affects things, the more people think about it, like Spren, for example, you can physically change Spren just by considering it a different way, is a really, really cool idea. And I'm really glad that Brandon Sanderson pulls it off the way he does.
It's funny you should mention that, because that was something that came to my mind as well. Specifically, actually, the fact that he's got three realms: physical, cognitive, and spiritual. We don't really see much of the spiritual, but I thought that was a really creative way. Yeah, yet. A really creative way to apply something that's a really ancient concept, which is the division between mind, body, and soul, or mind, body, and spirit. Like, that goes back to ancient philosophers, maybe even further, of you can divide how you think about things into mind, thoughts and controlling body, physical matter, and this more kind of harder to define spirit or soul sometimes. And to take that and base like three concentric realms that are all kind of in parallel to each other and build a whole world around that, really, really cool application of that.
I do think that the three realms is really cool. That definitely captivated me from the start of our, whenever we set out on this, started being introduced to these things. Mine is a little bit of a step over from less mechanic to more of a magic system. If that's that counts as a mechanic, right?
Allowed.
We've seen a lot of magic systems throughout the Cosmere. And I really debated on this for a while. There's a lot of cool ones. Notably, I think breaths are really, really cool. But there's something that I have always loved and always love coming back to with just our bread and butter first one with the surge binding. The 10 orders in the surge binding, the shared surges between the orders, the way it all works together is so pleasing, fascinating, and exciting. There's so much you can really dive into with that, that it's always been one of my favorite things, probably my favorite mechanic. That's less Cosmere level scope. You know, there's a lot of more zoomed out things I could get into. But as far as my favorite just mechanic that exists in the Cosmere, it's got to be Surge Binding on Roshar is the coolest.
I'm going to start sounding pretty lame for just piggybacking on you guys, but I wrote down three things in answer to this question. One of them was the different realms, which I ever talked about. The second one I wrote down was actually very related to the Surge Binding. I'm with you, Paul, 100%. Specifically, I keyed into the bond with the Spren, the Nile bond that the knight forms with their Spren is really cool and kind of creates the ability to explore a lot of different things. Like one, it puts a lot of meat on the bones for the magic system. I feel like there's a lot of magic systems out there that involve some kind of sorting into different categories or adherence to different deities or, you know, you name it. But to make it personal with a bond that you share with another being and progressing in your abilities involves growing in a relationship with this other being is really, really cool and not something I've ever experienced in another story like that. So that was pretty, pretty fascinating. And then it just allows for so much complex storytelling with the mechanics of your magic are tied together with the relationships of your characters. You know, your relationships change. Kaladin betrays Syl and he can't use his magic. Like to have all of that work so logically is really, really cool. Whereas in maybe another type of story, the author might have to do that a little bit fakely. I don't know quite what the right word is. They might have to contrive some reasons why the plot and the mechanics of the magic are kind of doing things at the same time. Here, it's all interwoven together, and I really enjoy it. For what it's worth, to say something creative that you guys did not say, my third kind of honorable mention on this was actually soul stamps from the Emperor's Soul. I think that one is a really cool magic system, and part of why I love Emperor's Soul so much is the fascinating way you can rewrite something to be something else and then the kind of limitations that come with that or how you have to carefully do that, but what the possibilities that you might unlock with being a skilled soul stamper. There's a different term for that. What was it? Forger? Is it just forger?
Forger.
Yeah. Anyway, very cool magic system.
Still C tier though, or wherever I put it.
Brutal and incorrect.
All right. What is your least favorite Cosmere mechanic, gentlemen? I guess I'll start with this one. Any guesses on what mine is?
Soul stamps.
No, it is not soul stamps. Soul stamps are cool.
I'm not sure. Is it like our new Aethers? Is that your least favorite?
Decent guess. Mine is a new mechanic, but it's not Aethers. Mine is anti-investiture. I am not keen on anti-investiture as like a weapon. I don't think that's cool, like at all. I'd rather Void Light be that and not anti Stormlight be that personally.
I do think that anti Stormlight is very confusing. It's part of, I think, why some people don't like Rhythm of War as much, because you get a little lost in the which light is which, what explodes right. Where. What song do I have to sing to make that happen? It gets a little tricky.
And then you add what, Lifelight into the mix as well?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like
there's Power Light and Ward Light. And
yeah. I was going to say, I think more than anti investiture. I was more in, I was both a bit excited, but then a bit overwhelmed, maybe on the side of it's too much with the tower light and like all the combinations, the halfway betweens. I'm going to refrain from saying that that's among my least favorite, though, until after Stormlight 5, because I think maybe that will tie into a head where we will get one ultimate light that's just going to be light. It's not going to have another name with it or something.
Light light.
Yeah, light or something. Final light. Who knows? Night light. You know, who knows? So I'm gonna refrain from that. But I do agree. It gets a bit much. It gets a little bit extra. I've wrestled with this. I don't know exactly what my least favorite Cosmere mechanic would be. Aethers is up there for me, but I can't choose it because there's a lot that needs to happen still. I haven't seen much. It's just a new thing, and the worry is it going to be too much? Are Aethers going to take away from other things we have going on? So far, that has not happened, so I'm not going to say that that's the case.
So my least favorite Cosmere mechanic is maybe a little bit specific. Trevor, you mentioned Hemallergy a few minutes ago. It's actually, it related to that, but more specific, I'm not a fan of Kolos. And
yeah,
it ties back to my general distaste for zombies. I absolutely detest zombies in any shape or form. I don't think they make a good story. I think they're a cop-out when it comes to, I need a bad guy. What should it be? Zombies.
And yet you like Elantris?
So, okay. Elantris is a really interesting way to have a zombie-related thing, but make it matter. Make it have an element of it that matters. Zombies tend to, and I think Kolos kind of fall into this, where it's an easy way to create cannon fodder. It's, I need soldiers that are hard to kill and that I don't have to feel bad for squashing. Make me some zombies. And Kolos are kind of that for me. They're not quite your stereotypical zombies. Brandon, they're more complicated. It's Brandon Sanderson, and he does it well. They fit in with the world of Mistborn. So it's not like it's a sore thumb necessarily. It's just not quite to my taste. And I think what Brandon did with the singers on Roshar is far more interesting than with the Kolos on Scadrial. There's kind like of a, there's a plot line there. No, actually, more the bad guys aren't just black and white bad guys. You actually do need to care about them. And there's a plot line in Mistborn Era 1 where we realize, oh, wait, the Kolos are our buddies, our friends, and oh, they actually do feel emotions maybe, and there's this one that makes friends with Vin. The version of that is the singers, where we realize that, oh, actually, they're not just plain old bad guys. They're actually the native people of this planet, and they've been kind of locked in their own minds for all these years. Way more interesting to me than the version of that we saw with the Kolos.
Fair enough.
Okay, so one of the things that I do not like, and I need to add a stipulation on this because, okay, I'll just try to start explaining through this. I like world hopping. I like world hoppers. However, the way that world hopping works seems not quite right to me. It seems like a bit of a stretch. Maybe this will be disproven for me, but my understanding of world hopping is while you're in Shadesmar, you can just walk from planet to planet, essentially, because people can't comprehend the distance between planets, so therefore they're kind of right next to each other, right?
Yes, yes. Short answer, yes.
Okay. That, ever since we learned that, has not sat well with me. It just has not sat well with me at all. I feel like there's probably a way that could be a lot cooler and more believable. For to me, that just seems unbelievable, as like that is how you're world operates. Like if I was put on a Roshar, they'd instantly be separated because I'd be like, no, they're not close to each other at all. They're like thousands of miles away or hundreds of thousands of miles away or whatever it is.
But so, okay, I'm going to defend it a little bit. At the end of the Lost Metal, what's-her-face Milan is still traveling to wherever she's going 18 months later. Okay. And the fact that you just said thousands of miles or hundreds of thousands of miles, obviously it's way further than that, but you can't articulate that, right? Unless you are told the exact number, you can't really ballpark it. So you're going to just say a big number. So that's what it is in the cognitive realm. It's a big number, but it's not, you know, 47 light years away. It's 100,000 miles away.
No, I hear you, and that makes sense. That makes sense to me. However, I wish there had just been a different way for world hopping to happen, not traversing through unknown amounts of distances because there are unknown amounts of distances between planets. It's just never sat well with me. So, yeah, like logically, I understand how we are here. And that makes sense, but I'm like, I feel like there was a missed opportunity for something maybe a step better.
Fair enough.
Can I nerd on something you just said for a second?
Yes.
I think you unlocked a thought in my brain there with what you just said, Trevor. What you just explained actually makes a ton of sense. I was originally thinking along the lines of Paul, like, oh yeah, just stick me on Roshar. I know what astronomical distances are, it would wreck all of the cognitive realm. But Trevor, I think your defense is entirely valid. I know that Mars is very, 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 very far away from Earth. But does my brain actually think about it like that most of the time? I don't think it actually does. My brain thinks about it like I saw it in elementary school on a single piece of paper, very not to scale. Like, I know the truth, but do I actually perceive it that way? I don't think I do.
Aha.
And see that I agree with y'all both. I think that makes sense. You're right. I don't think I can comprehend in my brain really rationalize what the distance looks like because it's unlike any distance I've ever experienced before or will ever experience, you know. However, I'm like, the transportation between something could have been a lot cooler than I'm going to fall into the cognitive realm and I'm going to walk across unknown amount of distance in Shadesmar and then I'm going to beg the perpendicularity spread to let me through or something, you know.
Fair enough. Yep. That's exactly what happened.
How do you
walk this direction for a year and then you're on a different planet?
How do you feel about our new world hopper mechanic of skipping? Any better?
I do think that is cool. And I'm wondering if that could be, because my understanding is our skipping mechanic, you don't have control over where you're going. You just get your breaths up and you just skip. Maybe it's to the nearest planet. We don't actually know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe you're going like directly nearby, but it seemingly to me it's random. If that is able to, you know, future eras be controlled where you're able to skip to other planets, I can get behind that. I think that's cool. If you have the investiture to skip to another planet, absolutely go for it. I think that's a lot cooler than walking for a year through Roshar or through Shadesmar. So.
Fair enough. What is something you wish Sanderson to explore more in the future? Who wants to go first here?
Oh, okay, I have some thoughts on this, and I'm cheating a little bit. I'm not going to answer your question directly. I'm not going to say this is what I want him to explore more, but what I think he does best and what I think he should continue to do. So as we've gone a lot further through the Cosmere to a lot of stuff that's written more recently, there's a good bit more crossover. It still remains on the subtler side, except for maybe the Lost Metal goes kind of wild. What I love and what I think Brandon has done the best is delivering the primary story, like the story very primarily on its, the emphasis of it being able to be read on its own. We've talked about this of like, we don't want this enormous reading list to pick up Stormlight 6 or Stormlight 5 or whatever, you know, to be able to still pick up and read. I want the emphasis to really remain on the story. He comes up with, he never fails to amaze you with coming up with fantastic magic systems, characters, plots, settings, everything. He always has a great job. So that's what I really want him to continue, in my opinion, more so than a bunch of major crossover. I think the crossover is starting to lose its luster for me, because it's not like we're going to have Kaladin and like what, Raiden fighting, so you know, working together or something like that. I mean, maybe we could, but it's always these like kind of secondary tertiary characters with the exception of Kelsier. So I don't know, it's lost its luster a little bit for me, but take that lightly because I do still love it. I just hope and want that Brandon Sanderson will continue to focus on the story being written itself more so than crossover and major Cosmere tech.
Fair enough. I am afraid of Cosmere tech in Stormlight specifically. I don't really care in Mistborn. He can mess up Mistborn all he wants. I'm not a, you know, whatever. Stormlight, I am a little afraid, as Christian put it from Lost in Roshar when he was on our podcast. I'm afraid of Kaladin hopping in his shard car and driving across the Roshar to save the planet. That does not sound appealing to me. Something I do wish Sanderson will explore more, the in-world way of kings. I don't think this will happen, but I want more in-world way of kings, whether that be epigraphs, whether that be, you know, a wish list of like him sitting down and writing the actual in-world way of kings. That'd be awesome. I want more of the in-world way of kings, please.
Mine's a pretty simple one, and it actually took me a while to think of, because he's written about a lot. There's a lot of different themes and stories that he's told across the Cosmere already. So what do I want him to explore more? Kind of a tough question. Something I did think of, though, that I would love if he'd write a story like around this concept would be more family relationships. And it's not like he doesn't do this. He definitely does. There are definitely main characters who have major plot points around their various family members. But I think a lot of times when you're writing epic stories, the epic events tend to tear families apart. And not always in the sense of like breaking up the family, but just more the sense of the family members aren't in the same space. They're off doing different things. I'd actually be really interested to see a story where we had like an entire family and we follow them for the whole story. And it's like a family trying to work together to solve whatever problems are in their way. I think that would be really interesting to get Sanderson's writing style into a book like that.
Yeah, we need a Sanderson Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah. Or something, yeah, totally.
Know? Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like that'd be a fit into the secret projects genre pretty well. You just kind of
absolutely
get dropped in with a family and they're just trying to survive on Threnody or something like that. I guess that's maybe already Shadows of Silence.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Shadows of Silence, do you want other authors involved in the Cosmere? What type of other stories and or authors would you want? There are rumors that, well, confirmed by Brandon, Dan Wells is working on a Cosmere book. Dan Wells is mostly known for young adult thriller, like horror movie or books, like not, I misrepresented that. Whatever. Not in the typical fantasy genre. It's more in the mystery thriller horror genre for Dan Wells. And people are rumoring that it's going to be a Threnody book, because that would seem to fit well. Does that interest you? Do you want to see other authors? Anybody in mind? What flavor? Anything on your wish list there?
So I am willing to give it a shot. However, I'm not on the side of saying I want a bunch of other authors, or I want X, Y, or Z other authors to begin contributing to the Cosmere. I mean, on this podcast, we've only read Sanderson. And so, you know, it's a bit skewed. We're used to Sanderson. It's very comfortable. So I am open to another author contributing. I'm open to Dan Wells' book. However, I'm skeptical. And if you asked me, is that something that I want? I would say no. I do not necessarily want other authors writing in the Cosmere. I will say, quote, in the Cosmere, you know, I'm assuming these are secret projects and other things like that. And I am okay with, as I'm thinking about it, I am okay with that, like a spinoff, a secret project, something like that, but nothing too pivotal, I think. I very much trust Brandon Sanderson. And I mean, this is very much his Cosmere, his thing. So I think he should keep going. He will, of course, but you know.
So something that I could see totally happening is he wants to make Arcanum Unbounded 2, or he wants to make Sunlit Man 2. Like at some point, it's on his calendar. But you know, 5-6 years go by, and it. Like he's just got too much on his calendar. Like I think this will happen, that he's got, you know, Warbreaker 2 on the calendar. When is that happening? So I could easily see him saying, finding an author friend and saying, hey, do you want this project for the next 2 years? And you, like, obviously I would be heavily editing it, but do you want to write this? I could totally see that happening.
I'm not super excited about the idea of spreading the Cosmere out to other authors, but not because I don't want other perspectives or styles or authors to get involved in the Cosmere. I think that would bring some interesting positives to the Cosmere, but I worry about some problems way further down the line. And the experience that I've had that I kind of am a little wary of is Star Wars. So over the decades, there have been many, 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 many authors who have written novels in the Star Wars universe. And I think there's positives to that. You can go find a lot of different kinds of stories set in Star Wars, and it's going to have this at least slightly familiar Star Wars feel to it. And it's really fun to kind of imagine what all is happening on all those random planets that Luke Skywalker is flying past on his way. Like that, in one way, is fun. But the problems that Star Wars has had is like these giant legal battles over what is canon and what is not, and entire fandoms being like ostracized over what different authors and producers and mega companies are trying to decide are the correct stories and what are not. I think we're a long ways away from that in the Cosmere, but let's say 50 years from now, when Brandon's son is taking on the mantle and writing, you know, the rest of the Cosmere, and now 20 other authors have all contributed, I could see a catastrophe like what has happened with Star Wars, and I want to stay as far away from that as possible with the Cosmere.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I don't care how this happens. Okay, I care a little bit how it happens. I care less about how this happens. I want a Cosmere, like, mythology, legends, and culture book I want like a coffee table picture book, like flip through. You can read about the Thalens. You can read about the Vorin doctrine as it's progressed from the Heralds to now. Like, you can read about how Marsh crept his way into Tress's religion and myths, and how that happened. Like, I just want a really boring, like, minutia culture and legends book from the Cosmere. I think that'd be cool.
I could agree with that. I love the coffee table book idea of, because we always see, you know, we've read so many pages of all these different, especially on Roshar, all these different peoples and cultures and things like that. And it'd be neat to have the visuals to go with that, it really said. And we have that some, but a nice little concise thing. I would absolutely get behind that, a little flip through book. Yeah, I would echo that for sure. One last thing I wanted to say on the other authors getting involved. I really like what you said, Elliot. I think that's a good point of maybe taking a lesson from the Star Wars franchise to not go too far down that trail over the years. I think one of the things I thought of is, I think bringing in other authors, I feel like it sounds like what you were saying, Trevor, is it would be getting involved in a lot of these sequels to other ones, like Warbreaker 2, Elantris 2, whatever, Seventh of the Dusk, you know, whatever, you know, all those sorts of things. And in my head, I've thought, I'm happy for another author to be involved with a secret project type thing, something kind of on its own. They can have fun, you know, whatever, magic systems, all these things. That's fun. But with the main series that we've had so far, I really would have a hard time with it not being Brandon Sanderson. And especially on our main series, of course. And in my head, I'm like, I would like more emphasis on the main series. Mistborn 3, Stormlight 2, of course, are going to be the foremost ones. And I don't know that I want a whole host of all these one-off secret projects or other books to pick through, you know?
Right.
I just feel like it could spread too much out that it's not necessarily doing itself any favors. So anyways, those are my final thoughts on that.
All right, Paul, you have a last point on the outline here. What do you have for us?
I do. On that, though, this is rather ironic for me to bring up now. But one of the things I wanted to ask you all, you know, after we've read the Cosmere, what, like, events or characters or stories would you love to get a little spin-off short story of? I realize it's incredibly ironic for me saying, we don't need more, you know, more secret projects and stories all over the Cosmere that we're going to have to pick through, you know. Incredibly ironic for me to say that, but I'm going to go ahead and share mine first, simply because I thought this was funny. You know, recently, Alex and I, we've been thinking about, you know, Christmas shopping. You know, what are we getting our family and friends for Christmas? And at some point, I ended up thinking of, someone made a joke about giving somebody things that they already own, like sneakily taking things from people and giving it back to them on Christmas. And it's like, well, you can't give me that. That's already mine. What, you know? And naturally I thought of Wayne, and I was like, you know, what would be really funny is a little spinoff of a Christmas time with Wayne, where people are just unwrapping gifts and it's all their stuff from maybe years ago, you know. I just thought that'd be hilarious. You could totally do it up and make it really fun and ridiculous. And so I was like, that would be a really, really fun, entertaining spinoff to have. But I was like, you know, cool or ridiculous, do y'all have any characters or things y'all would like to get a spinoff short story for?
I thought of one immediately when you posted this in the outline. And that would be, I don't know honestly how good of a story this would be, but my heart just really wants this. After Wind and Truth, Kaladin and Syl, no matter what happens, I think we may have even theorized on this a while back, they retire to a backwater farm, and maybe Kaladin gets married and raises some kids. I want the retired Kaladin and Syl cozy fantasy. I want a short little story about Kaladin, like, helping a village recover from a, you know, high storm or something like that, and making new friendships after getting away from all the carnage of war.
Need that. Four hobbits and the prance, or the, not the prancing pony. What's the inn in? Oh gosh,
Green Dragon.
The Green Dragon. Yeah, you need the four four hobbits and the Green Dragon with drinking their pint at the end of the movie scene. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, mine. I have two big wish lists, and I'm pretty sure both are like definitely going to happen. So this is not like a huge wish list thing. One, I really want Horn Eater. I want to know what happened to Rock when he got towed back off to the Horn Eater Peaks. What is going on in the Horn Eater Peaks? I really want to know that. When we're getting Horn Eater? I don't know. Second one, kind of what Elliot was talking about with the family focus back earlier in this episode. Raiden and Serini as young parents. I want Elantris 2 to just be Raiden and Serini with their, you know, four kids under eight, trying to like balance a young family life, but also trying to defend against, I don't remember the demon monk guy name. I don't remember them. But I want to see like a chaotic young family trying to spin all the plates at once. That's what I want.
I hadn't considered all the Cosmere cozy fantasy books that you could do, spinoffs you could do, but man, after so much wildness and chaos, it would be nice to just see Kaladin and a little family. Like, in the future, he's just doing his thing. I'm not a very cozy fantasy person, but absolutely, with these characters, they need a day off. Let's get the like spinoff day at the beach or something for some of these characters, you know.
Ooh, or this will definitely never happen, but our Commission of Peace, where you have 30 main characters from different stories hanging out in the noodle pupil for, you know, a short story and just having a bunch of different conversations.
Just us listening to all the different conversations going on would be crazy. Some wild people watching would be happening. Yeah.
I can bring it full circle for us too. I've got another spinoff novella that we desperately need. We've made it through the entire published Cosmere, and I don't know that we really found Noadon. We met him.
True.
We spent some time with him, but I feel like we didn't really catch up with him. And I feel like we're still following Noadon. And this is honest to goodness. I would love to read this book. Give me a Noadon novella. Give me the back in his day, what was he actually going through? Not just these little snippets of 2-minute segments that we get. Give me the protagonist Noadon story.
I could not agree more. And then we could finally rest our name on that book, you know, on that story.
Yeah, I'm sorry I gave us a feudal, is that the word I'm looking for? Name to chase after. I was pretty confident we would never find him.
Hold on though. We're about to start book 5 of the Stormlight Archive, Wind and Truth. There is plenty of space for flashbacks or cognitive shadows reappearing. A lot of pages. We got a lot of pages in front of us.
I wish I was as optimistic as you are. The fact that it is canon that you cannot time travel to the past in the Cosmere is such a roadblock that I can't get over that. I mean, not that I want that, but my hope for meeting Noadon and finally following him, not high.
Yeah, that is high on my wish list, but I do think our story is a bit past Noadon. I think we could almost change our name to Followed Noadon, like we followed him about as far as we could. And then
kept walking just, past Noadon.
Leaving from Noadon or something. Beyond Noadon.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Actually meeting in the flesh Noadon in our current timeline, I think I agree with you. Maybe pretty small, but I'm willing to bet we're going to get quite a bit of Dalinar in this last book. I know it's going to be Zeth's book. I know that Kaladin and Zeth are going to be doing a ton of stuff. I think we're going to see tons with them, probably more than Dalinar. I still think we're going to get some Dalinar. Could Noadon be tied in with the resolution of Erewhon Dalinar's story? Definitely possible.
Absolutely. Anything else with our... we've made it for 2 more weeks, and now then we have, you know, more to dive into. Not that I'm complaining by any means that Wind and Truth is released in 2 weeks.
Just a quick sentimental... I couldn't imagine 2 finer blokes to go on this journey with than the 2 of you guys, so thank you for digging through all this and putting up with my crazy number plots and engineering explanations along the way and deeper analysis into tiny little one-line mentions of stories. It's been a blast. It's been a pleasure.
And I also really want to say, I agree with Elliot. It's been wonderful with you all. It's really been fantastic journey. You know, journey before destination. We've made it, but the journey of us getting here has been the special part. And I definitely want to say just thank you to everyone who listens.
Yes.
To all of you and those who support us on Patreon and in our Discord and things like that. I mean, it still surprises me that sometimes that people listen to us. And we've come a long way from whenever we started. We never set out to be famous, and I don't think we are famous by any. We're definitely not. But we've really been able to take part in a wonderful community with the Discord, with other Sanderson readers. It's been really just a blessing. It's been wonderful, and it's I just can't really say thank you enough to everyone for listening and chatting with us. All the things. It's been so much fun.
I agree. And
we'll continue to be fun. We still have book 5, the Pièce de Résistance.
We do have book 5. We have a couple more content pieces before we will release our first Wind and Truth episode the week that it will come out. So probably is that December 2nd? December 3rd will be our first Wind and Truth episode, which is 2 weeks from when this episode releases. So with that in mind, thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot. We will reconvene next week.
On we go.
We made it.